Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless.
And if you have your Bibles, your book of instruction before leaving earth, I would like to invite your attention to Philippians. Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. Very familiar passage of scripture. Philippians chapter number 3, beginning with verse number 12. Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse number 12. You found it. I invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's word. Philippians chapter number 3, beginning with verse number 12. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Here's what it says. This is Paul writing. Paul says, "Not that I have already obtained this, or already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Once again, he says, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. The word of God is already blessed. Before you take your seats, do me a favor with a smile on your face, joy in your heart, and look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor." Okay, look back at me. Let's try this again. Rewind. I'm going to give y'all a fresh start. You can start over just like laying up with your left hand. I want you to say it like you know God really has been good to you, like you got joy in your heart, like you see how 2018 is going to end for you already, and you're kind of rejoicing about it early. I want you to look at your neighbor with joy in your heart and say, "Neighbor,
neighbor.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Show that came to church." I want you to know that I'm moving forward. Look at another neighbor, holler across at somebody. I want you to really do it this time. Holler across at somebody and say, "Neighbor, hey, good to see you. So glad you came to church." I want you to know that I'm moving forward. Amen, amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Moving forward. Will you pray with me? Father, it's once again that I stand to proclaim your word. I praise you, Lord, that I decrease and that you increase mightily. That these, your people, would see and hear less of me, more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, our strength and our Redeemer. Father, I've studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silent now, I'll wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see. Open mine eyes and lift me. Spirit divine, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Moving forward. Brothers and sisters, I cannot say that life for me has been easy. I grew up in a country area in Angie, Louisiana, in what would really be considered a shack. I chopped wood to keep warm. I hunted not for sport, but to eat. It It was a very rural area. When
we go back to New Orleans, I get cane syrup. It's like molasses. It sticks syrup. Why? Because I remember making it as a child. It's my experiences growing up.
Then God blessed me to graduate high school, to get into the military, and going through that process wasn't easy.
Got in the military, and I got married young. That was my first marriage, and went through a divorce and lost everything. Had a house, bought at 21, lost that. Mercedes, BMW, I was doing well, kids in private school, and lost it all. Then got up and I kept on going. I saw jobs come and go. Then I would get up and I would keep on going. Met a beautiful wife, and I remember one time we were in the gym, we were working out. My wife said something like, you know, I just want things to be a little easier. And I said, listen, one thing I've learned about life is this. It ain't ever supposed to be that easy. What we have to do is just keep on moving forward. God has blessed me to have more, not because I deserve it, but one thing that makes me a little different is that I just keep on moving forward. It's you take a licking and you keep on ticking. It's the weeble wobble. We fall down, but we get up kind of thing. You keep on going. That's what I learned in my little 36 years of living. Then a couple of weeks ago, my wife's father and his brother, they went up to Connecticut to get their sister. They're bringing their sister back down to Charleston, South Carolina. And they called us because they wanted to stop and stay at our house on their way down to Charleston, South Carolina. My wife says to her father, well, how is the weather there? They said, well, it's pretty bad. It's a snowstorm in Connecticut, and it's going from Connecticut down to even where we were. It's snowing the whole time. And my wife says to her father, well, y'all stay and wait. And her father's response was, baby, we're going to do whatever the Lord tells us to do. About 3 o'clock that morning, they pulled up in a huge U-Haul and came and took a little nap and kept on moving. Why would they do that? Maybe it's because they've been through enough storms to know if you just keep on driving and you keep on moving forward, you may not go as fast as you want to go, but as long as you don't stop, you keep moving forward, you will find that you will make it to your destination in the end. And God sent me by to let somebody know that this is your year to move forward. Come hell or high water, whatever you do, don't stop, don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Keep on moving forward. That's really what Paul teaches us in this little letter to the church at Philippi. I talked through Philippians once before. We had a whole summer series on it, but I did not deal with this passage of scripture because it's a familiar passage. So I wanted to kind of lift the other portions around it. I shared with us that this was an interesting letter. It was a letter really about joy, short little letter that Paul wrote to thank them for sending him a little money to put on his commissary tab while he's in prison. Let me say that again. Paul is in prison. Somebody came by, gave him a little money because he had to really feed himself while in prison. And Paul wants to say thank you to them for sending him a little something. And Paul writes this little letter, and he uses the word joy over 16 times in this one little letter. And then we get to the third chapter. Something is interesting. Paul is writing from prison. He writes about joy, then he talks about moving forward. Paul, how can you talk about moving forward while you are in prison? First thing Paul teaches us, brothers and sisters, is this. You've got to see further. You've got to see further. Paul, in a jail cell, yet he still says, forgetting those things which are behind me, I press forward towards the prize. The question has to be asked. Paul, how
can you be in prison and talking about pressing forward? It would seem as if his present moment would hinder his forward momentum. Paul, how can you be where you are, but yet and still you want to talk about moving forward? And the answer has to be that while his current situation looked bad, it did not stop him from seeing something better. And when we look at our own lives, Paul's words offer insight on how it is that we can begin this new year pressing forward. Watch this. Just because we've started a new year doesn't mean that we begin with a clean slate.
Yeah.
Okay. Just because we start a new year doesn't mean we begin with a clean slate. If you were broke December 31st, 2017, at 11:59 p.m., if you were broke at 11:59, December 31st, 2017, there's a good chance that as soon as midnight came and you screamed, Happy New Year, you would have looked at your bank account and you would have still been just as broke. If you had family problems, December 31st, 2017, 11:59 p.m., you could have screamed, Happy New Year. And you can see the fireworks shoot off. You can shout, you can run around, you can fall out. But when you get back up, you'll find that those same problems will be waiting for you. So how do you get a fresh start when the old stuff is really still there? Paul shows us that you've got to see further than where you are. Paul was in prison, but Paul saw beyond what was holding him. Paul was in a limited situation, but he didn't let the situation limit him. If you want this year to be better than last year, you've got to start now looking further than where you are. You've got to see further down the road than where you are. You've got to have goals that go beyond where you are. Where do you see yourself in May of this year? Where do you see yourself by November of this year? You can't let what you've gone through or what you're going through stop you from seeing where you are going to. Oh, I wish I had somebody help me here. That was good. Let me say that one more time. You cannot let what you are going through or what you are going through stop you from seeing where you are going to. Is there anybody in here that can see further than where you are? Is there anybody here that's willing to strive for more in this new year? Paul teaches us that while your situation may be limiting, it doesn't have to limit you. You've got to see further. Somebody says, see further. See further. You gotta see further. Paul was in a bad situation, but he looked beyond his situation and he saw further. Not only did Paul teach you that you've gotta see further, Paul also teaches us that you got to forget some things. You've gotta forget some things. Okay, now let's be honest. I know that when I read this passage of scripture, I'm a little troubled. I'm a little concerned. I'm challenged. Because I don't have the greatest memory. Lady Ball would say amen on that. I don't have the greatest memory. We can have a conversation if it was not that important to me. My wife would say, but we talked about this. And I would say, sweetheart, I don't remember any. Was I there for the conversation? I'm not one with the greatest memory. I'm not good with birthdays at all. Trust me when I tell you, I go to CVS and they say, what's your son's birthday? Pray for me. I don't have the greatest memory. I will miss it sometimes. But I don't want to get into the habit of being purposefully forgetful. Because when you start forgetting too much stuff, it suggests a mental degenerative illness. It's like you have Alzheimer's. Paul, now you say forgetting those things. Are you encouraging us to start forgetting things? Paul, it's not actually like you forgot anything either. Why? Because earlier in chapter 3, you told us about your past. So clearly, you didn't forget about what you experienced. For a long time, brothers and sisters, for at least 20 years, Paul had been a believer in Jesus Christ. He had served him. And he don't even have to go back to being a Pharisee. Just on his time at being a Christian, he could easily point back to a long list of his achievements. His ministry as an apostle, he got special revelations from God. Paul had already accomplished so much. He had taught so much. He had walked in the Spirit faithfully for 20 years. People had learned from him. He could really say that he's reached his goal. He had already arrived. But instead, Paul says that he forgets what's behind him so that he can achieve what's in front of him. But Paul, what do you mean by forget? It means that he did not let his mind dwell on things of the past. He did not keep turning over in his mind the good old days. He did not constantly remind himself of all of his achievements. He forgets continually and intentionally because he wants to press on to what's in front of him. Another translation says that he counts it as loss so that he can press forward. Okay, here it is. I watch National Geographic. I like watching National Geographic. Matter of fact, we get on Netflix and I would just watch certain things on National Geographic. And I like when they do the big cat story. Big cat story. That's when they talk about lions and tigers and cheetahs and leopards. I like those things. I like to see a lion go and snatch something. That's fun for me. I like those portions. It's pretty much just those that I like. But one time I found myself watching them describe a lizard. Now, a lizard, in my mind, isn't going to grab a gazelle, a buffalo. That's just not what lizards are going to do. And so I'm not really impressed by that. But I'll never forget something they said about the lizard, but I found very interesting. And see, a lizard sheds its skin. It bumps up against stuff to rub off old dead skin. And the lizard does something very interesting. The lizard will brush off the old dead skin, and then the lizard will pick it up and eat it. Couldn't understand that. So that's just weird. That's strange. Why would you brush off the old dead skin and then eat it? And the commentator says the reason the lizard does this is because the thing that it's outgrown, it doesn't just leave, but rather it consumes it, because within the old dead skin was nutrition and vitamins that would strengthen it to go further and faster and to grow bigger. My brothers and my sisters, God has sent me by to let you know this is how you forget some things. You brush it off, but then you consume it because you want it to fuel you in going forward. Paul would say, I forget what I've gone through, not that I'm just leaving it in the past, but I'm counting it as loss, it doesn't show up anymore, but it's fueling me for where I am going to. Watch this. We are selective in what we want to forget. We are selective in what we want to forget. People shout over forgetting things that they don't want. People shout over forgetting the hurt of the last relationship. Amen. Yes, Pastor. Shout over there. People shout and dance over leaving the struggle of last year. Yes, Lord, I'm expecting this to be my season. We shout over leaving the struggle. People will hashtag new year, new me. They post these pictures. I've seen them where it talks about stuff they leaving behind. I'm leaving drama. I'm leaving debt. I'm leaving haters. I'm leaving my ex. I'm leaving that all behind. But what's interesting is they only want to leave behind negative stuff.
Yeah.
they let go of the negative stuff and hold on to the positive things. But Paul That's something very different. Paul starts chapter 3 talking about how great he was. Paul said, if anybody got a reason to boast, I've got a reason. If anybody thinks they got a reason to celebrate themselves, Paul says, I've got more of a reason. Paul said that he was circumcised on the 8th day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He said, as to the law, he was a Pharisee. As to zeal, he attacked the church. As to righteousness, under the law, he was blameless. And that's all before he became a Christian. He could say, since being saved, I've started churches, I've traveled to many countries, I've trained leaders, I've written letters. If Paul wanted to stop right there, he could. He's accomplished enough. But Paul says, even in spite of all of that, I'm forgetting all of that. I'm considering all of that loss. I'm shedding all of that so that I can press forward. Okay, because Micah is into basketball, I'm the father who's trying to make sure that I watch the certain things to encourage and train him. There was a documentary that I watched about Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant from the DMV area, born in D.C., raised in Cedar Pleasant, Maryland. Kevin Durant, and it's describing Kevin Durant. This is after he's won the MVP. Him and his friends, after the season ends, they go to L.A. Kevin Durant rents a house. His friends come hang out with him in the offseason. And they're in the backyard playing basketball. They play video games, he eats, and then they go play basketball. Then he finds various trainers that he's working with, and he's sweating, and he's working hard in the offseason. And his friends say this. This is his friends from, like, middle school. They've been together that long. His friends say, we remember him when he was young, tall, skinny, quiet guy. But he was always on the court because he wanted to go to the NBA. He worked really hard to get into the NBA. They said, we watched him train and practice hours and hours because he wanted to get to the NBA. He trained hard to get to the NBA. He worked long and hard to get to the NBA. Then they said, what messes us up is he still trains hard. He still works hard as if he's still trying to get to the NBA, as if he doesn't even recognize he's already made it. Can I help us? Sometimes we don't get more in life because we settle for the little bit that God has given us, not realizing that God has so much more in store for us. God sent me by to let us know that some things we got to leave in the past and press forward to all that God has for us. We've got to work as if we're just beginning. We've got to see further. We've got to forget some things. Even as a church, if we want more, we cannot just settle on this is what we did a couple of years ago. We've got to strain for more that God has for us. We've got to start as if it's just the beginning. Paul teaches us that you've got to see further. You got to forget some things. And then finally he says that you've got to strain forward. Paul says you got to see further. You got to forget some things. And then you've got to strain forward. Watch this. This is actually the only time in the New Testament that this word straining that he uses, the only time that it shows up in the New Testament. By this word strain, it means to exert oneself to the uttermost. It means to give your absolute all. It means to use everything within your being to go forward. It graphically paints a picture of Paul running a race, and his body is bent forward. His hands are outstretched toward the goal, and his eyes are focused on the goal. Every thought and every emotion reaches out trying to achieve the goal. My brothers and my sisters, if you want more for 2018 than you had in 2017, if you're expecting God to do more in 2018 than was done in 2017, then you've got to have a posture that says, I'm straining forward, using everything within me to go after the goals that God has for me. One more little analogy from sports, and then I'm through. Growing up, believe it or not, I was a running back. I'm short, pretty fast, and I didn't mind hitting anybody. I was a running back. My father was a running back as well. And I was pretty good at being a running back. I knew I wasn't going to go to the NFL because I just didn't have the size for that. However, give me the ball, I'm running. I'm a running back. One thing they taught me was what separates good running backs from bad running backs was what to do toward the end of the play. What to do toward the end of the play. Cowboys don't do this, but the Saints, they do it. The running backs, the Saints, they do this. If you run the ball and you get tackled, don't settle where they drop you. You always strain forward for another inch, another 2 inches that makes a difference in a game. And so I've watched several NFL games, and there's always a difference right at the end when you got to score one more point. You hang the ball to the running back, and everything tries to stop him. But what separates good running backs from bad running backs are those that will get hit and meet resistance and still strain forward for every inch. God said, if you want more for 2018, then you've got to have a posture that says, even though the attacks may come, even though the troubles may come, even though the difficulties may come, I'm straining for with everything in me for all that God has for me. I've made up in my mind that I am moving forward. Is there anybody else in the church today that's made up in their mind, come hell or high water, come difficulty, come trouble, God, I'm straining for all that you have for me. Paul writes this letter from prison and has the audacity to talk about moving forward. Paul teaches us, if you want all out of life that you can get, if you want all that God has in store for you, if you want the blessings of a new year, difficulties will come just like they did last year. Troubles will come just like they did last year. But what makes the difference isn't the difficulty, isn't the trouble, it's your mindset that says, I'm moving forward. All the enemy may try to attack me, but I live in my mind, and I'm straining forward. All some of the old stuff from 2017 may still show up, and it tries to hinder me, but I'm seeing further than where I am. I already see myself victorious at the end of the year. I already see myself blessed in 2018. I made up in my mind because I've got a goal to reach. I'm going after it with all that I have. I'm moving forward. My brother, my sister, God wants you to know he's got more in store for you. But you cannot let the attacks of the enemy, the words of people, the lies, the deceit, the haters, you can't let that back you up. You've got to press forward. You cannot let your own mindset of what you aren't good at stop you. You've got to make up in your mind, and I'm still pressing forward. I know God has more in store for me. Jesus Christ demonstrated to us what it means to move forward. What it means to let go of past successes and past failures and move forward. What it means to see further than what you are. You gotta see something in the distance, and you gotta move forward. Jesus Christ demonstrated this because on one Friday, they beat him. You need to understand that the beating they distributed to Christ would have killed most men, but it didn't kill him. After the beating, he then had to walk up the Via Dolorosa with his own cross on his back. After being beaten, with the beating that would have killed most men, he had to keep on moving forward. He could have stopped and said, I've done enough already. I healed the sick. I fed thousands with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. I've walked on water. I've already raised the dead. I've done enough. He could have stopped and given up there. But he had a goal because he saw further than the beatings. He saw further than the cross. He saw more than where he was. The situation was limiting, but it didn't limit him. He hung on an old rugged cross. The Bible says he died, and they put him in a tomb and rolled a stone in front of it. Paul was in prison. Christ was in a tomb with a stone rolled in front of it. And it would look like that's the end for him. But early Sunday morning, he got up to say, while my situation was